Welcome to The Spout, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. I'm Christian. Sarah, Megan, how are you?
Doing great, Christian.
How do you guys like that intro?
That was a great intro. I really appreciate that.
I'm getting better.
And you said hi to both of us.
I did, because last time I said just hi to you, but that was because we were introducing Megan.
Yeah, yes. And you know, actually, I listened to last week's episode, and Sarah sort of blew your cover. You know, she said, look at Megan over there barfing.
Look at Megan over there.
I didn't realize we were going to have a grand introduction.
No, but it was totally fine. I think that everyone knew that I was going to be here. So then Christian's introduction of me was like, we already knew that. You know?
Speaking of kind of blowing covers a little bit, last week I did mention, I said something about Dave, like we were laughing, and Dave Johnson, who has been helping us out the last 3 weeks, we're in a recording studio and Dave's kind of helping us record. So if we make mention to him or if we're laughing at him or whatnot, that's because Dave is in the other room.
He's the voiceless other co-host.
Exactly.
I really feel like we're on Frasier.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I never watched that show.
I know.
It's good.
All right. Anyways, let me give a quick overview of the episode, and then we'll kind of get into some things here. We're going to do a sermon discussion. Going to talk a little bit about Serve Day and that recap that happened this past Sunday. We're going to get into some current events, maybe some controversial current events. And
dun, dun, dun.
That royal wedding, man.
Super controversial.
Then we will interview a very special person to me. Her name is Lacey Warren. She is my wife.
I spy nepotism.
What is that? I honestly don't know what that word means, but that's because I'm an idiot.
It's like showing family members favoritism in a workplace.
Oh, no. Well, there's a new album coming out at the Well, and Lacey is the featured artist on that. So we're going to talk to her about our top three favorite worship songs. We're also going to, at the end, read through some emails, talk about, or actually do a little bit of a raffle, see who wins a $10 gift card to iTunes, and then we will do some announcements at the end as well. One quick thing I wanted to kind of update you guys about is if you guys are regular Well Spoutcasters, do you guys listen to the Spoutcast?
I do.
Of course.
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird listening back to the Spoutcast a little bit, but I like to listen for feedback for myself and for us as well. So, but something's cool is that we've got a guy who listens to the Spoutcast. We'll read some of his emails later, but he emailed us in a while ago, and he basically said, hey, you guys are eligible for a Google Voice number, so you guys should get a Google Voice number. And so
how are we eligible? What makes someone eligible?
Well, we have our thespoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you can email us in there, and he basically emailed us in and said, somehow you're eligible for a Google Voice.
Okay.
And so we created a Google Voice number, which is 559-321-SPOUT. But technically, it's 559-7768, and that's only four numbers.
You forgot 321.
Okay. Did I really? What did I say?
559-7691 or whatever it was.
All right. Well, this is what I meant. I meant 559-321-SPOUT. But Spout has five numbers in it, letters in it. And the number is 559-321-7768. Because why, Megan?
So for those of you who aren't following, the U and the T are actually the same number. So we just combined them. It's an 8.
Yes. It's an altogether 8. So
So we're taking Spout and making it four numbers.
Correct.
But because the last two numbers are the same.
You can still type the number twice.
Right.
Yeah. So you could technically.
Yeah.
And it would still call. Totally.
Yeah. Although, but if you're texting, you can't.
A little bit different. Yeah. Texting a little different. So if you want to text us or call us, you just text or call 559-321-7768 or SPOW without the
321 SPOW.
But there's a T at the very
or
end.
Or just spot, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
The U away.
Well, but
321 SPOT.
Or 321 SPOT, but that would be weird. I don't know.
Weirder than SPOW?
We're just saying SPOUT. All right. 321 SPOUT.
Okay,
and people can dial the 8.
Christian makes the rules around here.
That's right. But alongside the phone number, we'd love for you guys to always check out our Facebook at facebook.com/spoutcast or twitter.com/thespoutcast. And always check the website at wellcommunity.org. You can find the Spout on there. But we're going to listen to some awesome music, which we are going to kind of be promoting the Well Worship CD all episode long, okay?
Love it.
And so we are actually going to be playing the title track off the Well Worship album featuring Lacey Warren, who we're going to interview here in a second. And the title track is called With Everything. Have you guys heard the album yet?
Didn't she write that song?
She did not write that song. With Everything's a song that they've played on Sunday night a lot. It's a Hillsong song.
What's the song that she wrote?
Lacey's going to have to tell us about it.
Oh,
it's called
wait.
Oh Hallelujah, though, and she'll talk about
yes.
it.
Oh, yes.
It's beautiful.
It's a great song. And so we're going to listen to some With Everything by Well Worship featuring Lacey Warren. And then up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the sermon this past week. So we'll see you guys in a second. We are back, and Megan, I just wanted to say one thing. I've noticed that your voice is a little bit different today. Is anything going on? Are you sick a little bit, or?
You know what, Christian? I am a little bit sick, okay. And here's the kicker. I can't really hear anything out of my ears because I'm pretty sure I have an ear infection, and it just everything feels like stuffed up. So I actually don't know how loud I'm talking at any time.
You're a
so
great
I'm really
voice.
Nervous.
You
I warned
great.
Some people
you
at church
great.
Last night, like, hey, if I'm talking too loud, just give me the look, you know?
Yeah, it's funny yeah. is I don't think anybody would ever do that. Like, ugh.
Well, right. Or maybe they just think I'm a loud talker in general. So then it continues after
probably.
I'm not sick and they just keep giving me the look. And then I feel really like weird.
You should
you know?
Get that ear infection checked out because those are bad.
Yeah, I get them frequently.
They're awful.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about the sermon this past week?
Well, I think that's
sure.
a great segue.
Did you guys both go to church?
Speaking of ear infection, what yeah, did you think about the sermon?
It was loud.
Yeah, speaking of annoying things in your ear, oh, God. Just kidding. I'm kidding, Brad.
Christian.
I don't think Brad listened. Maybe. I think actually Brad's listened before because he said, hey, great job on the Spoutcast. So,
really?
Yeah, he said that before.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, anyways, Brad. Did you guys both go to church this past week?
Did.
Yes.
Let me say a couple things about church this past week. I loved just the flow of the whole service. But anyways, I just loved hearing the stories about Serve Day. Did you guys have a favorite story maybe you heard over the sermons?
Yeah, actually, I really did.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't know, Christian. I think it might have been ever since we talked about that one time when Sarah was in Chicago and we talked about your idea of a car wash.
Yes.
I was really captivated by that story of the
yeah
of
the car
guys
wash and the barbecue.
About the car wash and the barbecue and the guy at the end bringing a sheet cake and people bringing water. Like,
yeah.
I was just so moved by like that involvement in that community and how effective that was. Mm-hmm. So that was my favorite story personally.
That was. Do you have any favorite stories there?
There was a couple. Well, there was. The gal, and I don't know her name, she was older and really just happy and laughing a lot.
I just
really like that because she loved being there. She loved talking about what God was doing through Serve Day and that was
I thought it was cool how they even broke down the video. Just the very beginning was kind of this what is the $5 all about? And, and these, an older gentleman had said something to the extent of, we're supposed to tithe to the church. Church isn't supposed to give us money back. And then kind of at a certain point, he was like, it's all God's money though, which was a great thing to hear.
Yeah, I thought that was powerful. That
yeah,
was
that
cool
for
thing.
Me, that was like, it's so good. Even with my own money, just remembering this is always God's money.
Yeah.
And my favorite story was the two dentists that we're talking a little bit about.
Yeah.
They actually... We talked about spring break last week and how I kind of went to schools and did like some Saturday sports programs. The dentist actually came out to the schools and dropped off the toothbrushes, toothpaste, and kind of talked to these kids about good hygiene. And these guys, they're just looking for a way to use their profession as a way to serve. And I loved how they talked about that. They were like, this is what we do. You know what I mean?
Are they brothers?
Yeah, I think they're twin brothers. I could be wrong.
And the fact that they have access to things that are so important, and I know this is kind of a weird thing to say, but just in the field that I work in, like we deal a lot with like oral motor and stuff because, you know, children with disabilities often lack oral motor hygiene and just the ability to use oral motor functions.
Yeah.
And your oral motor hygiene is so crucial to the way that like your body functions throughout life, like with diseases and and just all kinds of things like speaking, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
So the fact that you give a kid a toothbrush and if that kid uses that toothbrush, yeah, it's so important for like life skills forever. So it just really is like life-changing, a toothbrush, you know?
Yeah, and I wonder if, like, what I like about it is that they're not just, and we've talked about this before, they're not just giving away something. They're not just giving away a toothbrush and toothpaste there. And I think Sarah and I have talked about this before, but just empowering people and not just saying, hey, here's a toothbrush or a toothpaste, but also, like, talking with these kids and empowering them and not just giving them something, but also kind of empowering them and equipping them. Hey, here's how you use this. This is why you need a toothbrush.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. They were like teaching these kids like about their hygiene and their oral hygiene.
And I loved the Scholastic Book Fair story. I don't. Why are you guys laughing?
We're laughing because we were hoping, I just wanted to hear the end, like more about it at the end. Because
her ending was like, she didn't have to spend her $5, so she got to keep it. And I was like, what? That's not the point. What's happening here?
But then she did talk a little bit more at the end about like how we should take advantage of every small opportunity. We don't have to go throw on a big fundraiser and all these things, but like the little things.
I think I heard this. I was at FIG this past weekend and they talked about it off air, that specific person. What's funny, because there was a lot of stories that kind of ended and you're like, wait, what happened? You know what I mean? But I think that was just to keep the flow of the video. But Dave Obwald at FIG had mentioned about this woman that she actually tried to spend her $5 like 4 or 5 different times, but every time God totally provided. And so the point of, I think the point of her stopping, like, or just kind of ended abruptly, was her mentioning that God's going to provide even without $5. Like, you don't need the $5 to kind of flow or spark this thing or whatever.
Right. I think, too, like, that $5 for her, at least, was just even motivation, because she had talked about, you know, I'm so busy, I have this new baby. Like, that $5 motivated her to actually start a conversation with this
kid. It was that catalytic event.
Exactly. Yes. And she didn't even need to spend it in order to bless him. Right. I think, and I think her story in that was really cool, because I bet you that kid, I remember those Scholastic Book Fair catalogs. And I wanted stuff out of them all the time.
I never wanted books, just erasers and bookmarks.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay.
Never gonna have enough.
I just think
erasers,
that's such a cool, that's such a cool thing. Yeah.
Now, Sarah, did you know, or Megan, did you notice this past weekend kind of how the flow of the service went? It was like, maybe it was different at North, but it was like video, worship, video, worship, video, worship. Did you guys have that same flow?
Yep.
And how'd you feel about that? Did you like that?
I liked it a lot. It kind of just was a different change of pace, kind of broke up things differently. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought that the worship through music this week was just kind of, I love how it, you're right. It just was a different pace, different feel, and it didn't feel like this song, sermon, song, or prayer, song, sermon, song. You know, I liked it. It was semi-organic, you know, and it just had that flow to it. And you know what? I think even Dave Obwald mentioned, hey, service is going to be a little bit awkward this week. And I was like, no, I loved it. I was super into it. I love that you can worship at any moment. And I know they're probably putting the songs in there to break up the video or whatever, but it felt good for me to just like stop and praise. And then, I don't know, did you guys feel that? Or?
Well, I think there was like a very strong intentionality about the songs that were chosen as well. And I think they like directly related with a lot of the things that people were saying in the videos, which I think just made the flow so much better, because it just connected everything. It felt like one giant sermon, you know, because the songs are absolutely biblical. And then, you know, the things that people were saying that they were learning were like that application, and it just kind of all went together.
Absolutely. I love how the songs and the worship through music just, they, most of the time, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I my wife leads worship and she really tries to have some intentionality, but where the songs really tie into the the sermon each week. And I love that the different worship pastors, different worship leaders at the Well, they really put that thought behind it. It's just cool to see that. And I don't know, do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, every week the songs typically will flow with whatever was taught on that. Like, I know the worship team are very intentional about it, which I think is just great. Because everything is purposeful at the Well. Every part of service is purposeful.
Yeah, and I love that about the Well. And, you know, I've given, like, announcements before, and I think that as a church, you have to recognize you're putting on a program, in a sense. And, you know, you want it to be a purposeful, worshipful thing. And I've done announcements before, and it's like, well, you got to pray while the screen goes down or whatever.
All the logistics.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, I can do that. I can pray for 60 seconds while the screen goes down. But it's like, look, if I want to go longer, longer in my prayer, that's fine. Or if worship decides to go longer, I feel like when you guys go to church, do you feel this like church has to end at 8 o'clock or church has to end at 10 o'clock? Or do you just feel like, hey, whenever church ends, it ends?
What do you mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's
something organic about the well.
We always end the seven service at 8:15 sort of thing. Like,
I don't feel like we really do, though. I feel like we end when church is...
No, but we have an expectation that it will. You know what I mean? Is that what you're saying? Like,
I'm asking, do you have the expectation?
Yeah, do we have the expectation? And I don't think I do, no.
I think I do.
Really?
But just because...
Get out of here.
No. not in a bad... Just because I, like, that's how my brain works, kind
okay.
of.
Okay, kind
like,
of achiever level there.
Yeah, so I know that from the... But if it went over, that'd be fine. That'd absolutely be fine. But that's kind of what my brain expects, because that's what always
like, you know, worship's going to be 3 songs, and there's going to be, like, a 45-minute sermon, then we're going to get out of there 3 songs, yeah. and then 15... Yeah,
and that's what I like about the well, is it's not like that.
It's not always like that.
Some weeks are 25 minutes, mm-hmm. and some weeks during Song of Solomon, it's an hour and 15, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't ever come in expecting this. And I've been to other churches where church starts at 10:15 and you are out of that service by 11:15 because, hey, we've got another service coming at 12 o'clock. And it's like, no, this is organic. And we're just going to, hey, if we feel led to lead another song, we're going to do that. If we need to cut a song, we're going to cut a song.
Yeah, and I like that. I like because it does keep it organic and it makes it feel less like a program.
Right.
And more like, no, we're here to worship God, and that's just going to happen the way it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I remember in, like, going to, like, churches I've been to previously of, like, looking at the bulletin that they give you or, like, the, you know, the schedule of the service that day, and you, like, stare at it, and it's almost like you check things off. Okay, we've been through that. Like,
right.
I know what these last two things to expect, and then I'm out of here.
Or there's, you know? Like, did you guys ever go to church where there was, like, the fill in the words on the bulletin? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's like, well, you're waiting for that word to get filled in, and so you're not even listening to the sermon. You're just waiting for them to read the line or it to come up on the screen to where you can write it.
Well, for some people, that really, like, that's good. I mean, like, for me, I like knowing what's going to happen. I like filling in my blank. And not because I just want to fill in a blank, but because it keeps me, like, really attentive and, like, I'm listening for it. And it, you know, I like
on the opposite end of that. And I totally see that side, Sarah.
Thanks for validating my opinion.
On the other side of that, I read those notes and all I am is waiting for me to fill that word in. And I'm completely lose focus until that point. And everyone obviously is different. I'm just saying, I guess I kind of like that about the well.
Yeah.
How about we'll get you a bulletin?
No, that's fine. And I don't mind that we don't have a bulletin at all. I mean, it's fine. I don't care.
All right.
I take my own notes.
Good. See,
if you take your own notes, I fill in my own blanks.
My wife, she's always taking notes, highlighting, and I'm like, I gotta do that. I just sit there and I'm in awe of everything. I'm like, this is great. So maybe I need to take more notes. This actually, the Spoutcast actually helps me process the sermons a little more, and I listen intently, and I go, oh, maybe this is what I want to talk about or what we can bring up. And I just, like, even with the dentist that came on the serve day thing, I was like, I really want to touch on the dentist because, you know, they were a great story and they kind of connected with me, and I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's something that I've noticed in my own friend groups that I wish we were more intentional about is after the sermon, like, you know, taking the time to really process through a lot of the things that are spoken about or, you know, I don't want to leave a sermon and just go home or, like, go to In-N-Out or go to Doghouse or wherever we go after to hang out and just forget about what was spoken, you know?
You heard that here. We go to Doghouse and In-N-Out after church.
Yeah, sometimes. No, but you know what I mean? Like, I love this time to process through this, and I just wish that was, like, at least with me, I know something that I challenge myself of, like, get a group together and actually, like, speak about these things afterwards to be able to process, because this is really good. Like, these conversations are really edifying. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I think that's what Sarah and my, like, heart was in the beginning of this podcast is, let's just talk about the sermon and see if it brings anything up and anybody emails in about it. And they don't have to email in, but it's like, hey, as I was listening, I thought about this or whatever. And, I mean, you know, that's great if they do and that's great if they don't. But the whole point is just to get us at least talking about it and getting other people to begin having that discussion. I heard a mom a while ago said they were listening to the Spoutcast, listen to Sarah and I talk about one sermon, and in the car they were talking to each other about, hey, I did hear that. It sparked conversation in a sense. And so that's what my heart is for the Spoutcast, and I'm glad that we can do that here. So if you have any thoughts on this past week's sermon or even just the well in general and how the service flows, and you want to just, you know, praise that or dialogue with us about that, email us in at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. And you guys have any last thoughts or? No, you guys are good.
Nope.
All right. You looked as though you had a last thought there, Megan, but maybe I stepped on your toes.
I have like 6,000 thoughts a minute.
Oh, great. Well, up next, we're going to talk about some current events, some potentially controversial current events.
Controversial.
The royal wedding, once again.
That Kate.
Yeah.
Should the maid of honor have
What was up with that
life?
Dress? Anyways, right. We're going to talk about some current events, and we'll be right back. Darkness tremble in your holy light. Every hour we see Jesus our God, great and mighty to be. All right, we are back. We're going to talk about some current events, and I'm going to just mention two quick, brief ones, then we'll get into the more serious ones here. But first of all, I feel like it's become a, what would you call it, a common thing, or every episode I've done this.
Movies?
Yes.
Oh,
tradition.
Anyways, I like telling people about movies that are coming out and fun family appropriate movies. I feel like that's always good.
We're always promoting.
And you guys
families.
Got mad at me. You're like, I don't think the junior hires should go see the movie Prom. And I was like, all right, well, I apologize.
We were just giving our 2 cents.
All right, well, here's my 1 cent here on a movie that's coming out this week, which I'm really excited about. It is a movie called Thor, which is a comic book movie. It's just a Marvel comic book movie, but all Marvel movies are typically appropriate. I feel like I would let my kids see the Spider-Man movies or whatever. They're not horribly, they're just high action, but also high fun. And I'm really looking forward to Thor for many reasons, but it's got great ratings so far. And I think it'll be a fun superhero movie. That's all I'll say.
That's awesome.
Is that fair?
That's great.
Okay.
When you first said Thor, my brain heard Tron.
Nope.
Because they're both four letters
and both start with T.
And I thought,
Maybe I
think I heard him wrong. So I had
although
to go
our
back.
Our friend Pat did say that although the Tron's plot was sort of weird, the visual effects were highly stimulating. So
yes.
That made the movie.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah,
Tron was okay. Thor, I think, will be much better. These four-letter word movies, you know.
It was on the plane when I was coming home from Chicago. They were playing Tron. And so me and my friend Jane, who I was with, we couldn't hear it. So we made up dialogue for what was going on.
I would have loved.
That
was fun. It was fantastic.
That's
you guys
a good plane ride
that.
Back.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a Mystery Science Theater.
It was, exactly. And we laughed so hard.
One other quick current event kind of thing going on here in Fresno is, I don't know if you guys are fans of the Island Water Park. I personally have never been to the Island Water Park, but I was reading the newspaper and I read this and I thought, how could I not mention this on the air? Because I don't know if you guys are into nightclubs, DJs, or lights, but Wet Electric turns Island Water Park into a nightclub with superstar DJ Paul Oakenfold. So,
what's the name again?
DJ Paul Oakenfold, which I feel like you should just go with DJ Paul.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways, that's going on this week at the Island Water Park. That's on Saturday.
Do you get to ride rides?
Or this is what I read about. At night, they kind of open up the water park, and there's a DJ, and there's lights flashing, and there's music bumping, and it's just a fun time to go late at night. It'd be like atomic bowling, where there's neon bowling type of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, do they have that in Fresno?
Yes.
Neon bowling?
The glow-in-the-dark
bowling.
Too cool for bowling there, Megan?
When I was in fourth grade, I was in a glow-in-the-dark bowling league.
Wow. So if you want to join
a glow-in-the-dark... On that note, I am way too cool for bowling.
Yeah. If you want to join a glow-in-the-dark nightclub swimming league over at the Island
Water Park.
Okay, but
I don't think that we should promote anything that has the word nightclub in it. That just sounds weird. Like,
I read
glow-in-the-dark nightclub, Island Water Park. So a bunch of girls in bikinis at a nightclub.
I read...
Dancing. Like, what?
All right.
Christian, what are you? What kind of show are you pulling
Every
over
week
here?
You do something that should offend Lacey, and this week she's here.
Oh, great. I blew it. Well, I did read that, like, families go to this thing all the time.
Oh, so, okay. Well, in that case, it shouldn't be called nightclub
then. Let's go to the nightclub.
Yeah, right? So, well, it is hot enough at night to go in water.
When you get in and they go, how'd you hear about us? Go, Spoutcast told me about you.
Yeah, the well told me about you, your nightclub.
All right, forget it. Let's get on to the bigger things here.
We got to really monitor what this guy's current events are.
Sarah, seriously. You had a current event that you brought up to me today, and it stirred up quite a controversy here.
Uh-huh. In case you haven't heard, Osama bin Laden has died.
That is correct. And
why are you laughing?
Giggles over here.
No,
she brought it up because when I was going through current events, I was like, we could talk about Thor or the nightclub or the royal wedding. And then she was like, or Osama's death. I'm like, oh yeah, maybe we could talk about that as well. So,
and she's probably giggling because she's so nervous in anticipation of what's going to go down right now.
I'm excited.
I don't think anything's going to go down. But
I know.
Megan, I do believe you wanted to share your 2 cents on that current event.
Well, I'm in the midst of a little controversy within my own brain.
Okay.
Part of me feels like, and I think this is probably going against everything that America stands for, mm-hmm. but part of me just feels like it's a little premature to announce it to the American people.
Okay.
And I know that, like, America prides itself on staying in the know, and the government's definitely very, like...
Or in the Fred's know.
Right, in the...
just joke.
Yeah, there you go. And, you know, the government is good about that. But, like, the second the media gets a hold of something, then, like, everything goes crazy. And and to be honest, the reason I fear this a little bit is because, you know, Al-Qaeda, you know, has been sort of on the, you know, a lot of its leaders are dead. There's a lot. There's not really a ton of, like, uproar right now. And and now that Osama bin Laden, you know, this man that they, like, look up to and is, like, sort of their, you know, their guy.
Their idol.
And now that he's dead, that we've killed him, it just puts us in a spotlight. And I know that we can't shy away from things because we're scared, but I just feel like it's just, I don't know if this is going to cause more problems in the long run. And I don't know what I would have done differently. Like, obviously... Like, they were ordered to kill him. He's dead. Do we not announce it to the American people? Do we?
Right.
That's where I'm struggling a little bit. I just feel like, you know, I'm actually really nervous for what happens next. Like, for the next terrorist attacks or whatever. And I know that our embassies and everyone is on high alert, but it still makes me nervous.
I think for me, like, on the kind of the other side of it is, you know, as far as them announcing it, they announced it pretty late last night. You know, it was like 11:30 when it got at least announced on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And, or
I think it was like 9:30.
Probably got announced all at the same exact time.
I feel like it was like around dinner time that I heard about it.
Yeah, but later in the night, checking Twitter, and it just like Twitter blew up, and then Facebook blew up, and it's just like we were kind of having this discussion off air. I feel like it's all these like bloodthirsty Americans, you know, like wanting this man to like fall and die, and you know maybe that's a bit of a deeper, longer theological debate here, but. Something that I just noticed on Facebook is like how people just I read a Twitter basically that was like the only time America comes together is when someone dies, you know, and Michael Jackson dies. Everyone like freaks out. And it's like, oh, we're Americans. Sad day. Or Osama bin Laden dies. Or even, you know, America came together through like 9/11 and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's like this just sad to me that that's what needs to take place. And people just all of a sudden become crazy political on Facebook and Twitter. I'm like, dude. Lay off, you know, it's just these people go nuts and they're like bloodthirsty Americans, I guess.
Well, yeah. And I think it's like, I think Facebook, and I had this conversation with a friend last night, that Facebook is an incredibly inappropriate forum for things like this. Because, you know, we have people that come from different arguments and there are a lot of like people from the military who are going to be like rejoicing the fact that he's dead because they've worked hard at this. This is what they've been employed to do. And then been working at this for a long time. And then there are other people who are going to make some pretty bold claims about, you know, which I think are correct of saying like, you know, Proverbs 24:17 says like, do not gloat when your enemy falls. Like we should not be rejoicing in his death. You know, Osama bin Laden's soul is just as valuable as the rest of us, which I know like causes a lot of controversy. But
And I'm sure the same controversy came up about Hitler.
Oh, for sure. But Christ died for every single one of us. You know what I mean? And I know that even that gets into controversy. But I mean, just in the fact that now you have people on Facebook who are writing back and forth comments arguing about something that they have two completely different stances on. And so it just seems like a super inappropriate forum for people to not be able to explain themselves, but just really be like, just really like, I don't know what the word is. Like, what's the word? Like when you're just very controversial, but you're really like
you're arguing for the sake of arguing. Not for the sake of trying to understand the other side, but just for like making your point and making them know that you think you're right.
Right. And I feel sensitive for both sides. Like, you know, my friend Brianne, like her husband's in the military. Mm-hmm. Like he's been in the army and we've watched him. He went to Iraq and like, you know, like we've watched her go through what that means to have her, you know, fiance be overseas in a war. And then, you know, on the other side of things, like taking the biblical stance of like, well, we don't rejoice when he dies. Like that is wrong. Like, he's our enemy, but we can't rejoice in that. So I just feel sensitive for both of them. And I just think that Twitter and Facebook sort of, they don't really remedy the situation. They just sort of make it worse.
I would totally agree. Yeah. And I mean, this is totally a less serious note here, but you just see things like Facebook and Twitter blow up whenever something's going on. And I may have mentioned this before, but it's like Osama, all these people that are never outspoken about politics, never outspoken about anything. They just come out of nowhere and they're like, Osama's dead. And they all of a sudden become political. Or like all of a sudden during World Cup, everybody's a soccer fan. And you're like, you haven't liked soccer in the last 10 years of your life, but just because everybody else is posting, now you're a big World Cup fan.
Or during the election.
Or you've made fun of Michael Jackson for the last 10 years and now you're the world's biggest Michael Jackson fan.
I just kind of mentioned this, but I don't think you heard me. The Giants. That was like the biggest Facebook blow up of all time.
Yeah, and you're like, there are some true Giants fans out there. Please put it on your Facebook. You're stoked the Giants won. But don't all of a sudden, I'm a Giants fan. I live in the Bay Area. And it's like, no, you're not a Giants fan. You could care less about baseball. You know, and then,
Well, and I think for a generation that like definitely doesn't do confrontation very well, Facebook is great. Like you put it up there, you don't have to worry, you don't have to face defending yourself, you don't have to be in a verbal conversation with anyone where you'd have to defend yourself like instantly. Like you can put what you want up there and then like just ignore the rest of the world.
That's why I do posts about the royal wedding. So
that's a good segue.
Well, I have some things to say about the royal wedding.
Oh,
do you?
The real controversy is coming in.
Yeah. Let's wrap up the Osama thing then. Yeah. For me, I would say like, if you have something to say about it, like grab some friends and talk about it, but be sensitive to what you post in public places because, you know, like, it's offensive.
Yeah. Even as a Christian, just be aware of what you're putting out there.
Well, and be aware of your attitude towards it. Like, you know, biblically, like, we should be mourning his soul. Yeah. You know, like, it's a terrible situation. Yeah. And, like, you know.
We're
rejoicing
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that was a spirited discussion.
I feel like we did this pretty well, though.
Absolutely.
Congratulations. Hands in, guys. Camaraderie on three.
Ducks.
Woo!
Quack.
Speaking of ducks, the royal wedding.
Right. I didn't really have anything really to say about the royal wedding, but I just thought it'd be funny if we got heated about it. The only thing I know about the royal wedding is that the maid of honor also wore white. And
there was some controversy on Yahoo.
On Yahoo, there was some controversy about that. But me and Megan discussed this last night, and we decided that it was probably a tradition thing or
planned of some sort. She would never have worn white if it wasn't allowed. You know that every single person, and they were like pawns. They were like, you wear this, you wear this, you look like this. You know what I mean? Like, no one got to do what they wanted in
that
wedding.
I wish I knew why. I mean, I guess I could look it up, and I should have been more prepared for this moment.
See, I really could care less about the royal wedding, and I don't know much about it, but it's funny because I was talking with my wife the other day, and she was like, why do people get all up in arms about the royal wedding? Kind of the same thing with the Royal Cup or Osama, the World Cup or Osama. It's like, why do people post all over the Facebook about royal wedding or whatever? And she's just really like complaining, all right, royal wedding, I'm who would ever watch that? And then we wake up the next day, and all of a sudden I find like TiVo'd the royal wedding.
That's awesome.
I was like, Lacey. She's like, I just want to see what all the uproar was about. I'm like, all right.
Well, and I mean, I agree with her. Like, what I could not figure out this whole time is like, does anybody remember like when America got its independence from England? Like, why do we still care so much about this country and it's a wedding?
Well, I just want to know how come there wasn't a big blow up about my wedding. That's kind of where I was upset about.
You know, when President Bush's daughters got married, like Jenna Bush got married, why didn't we tune in?
Yeah.
You know,
but
like,
we tuned
into
Rob and Amber's wedding from Survivor. So.
Oh, and you know what? We also tuned into Trista and Ryan's wedding from The Bachelor.
And Molly.
And I guess that's a kind of embarrassing for America because what we have to watch are the bachelors getting married, and what they have to watch is like royalty. So I guess maybe that's why we tune in to classy, like to make ourselves a little bit more classy.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of my wife, up next, we're going to chat with her a little bit about the new worship album From the Well. Maybe we'll chat with her about her thoughts on the Royal Wedding as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to do
absolutely.
Our top three favorite worship songs.
I think that sounds great. And can I just like interject here for a second?
Yeah, go for it.
I really like your wife.
She's great.
I think she's fantastic. So I'm excited to interview her.
I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited too.
Why are you nervous? Is she
she can
like...
actually call him out in real life now.
Yeah. I can't wait.
I feel like...
Can she tell us an embarrassing story?
I don't think she has too many embarrassing stories.
No, about you.
About me. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. We can ask her. Okay. But we'll bring her in here and do our top three favorite worship songs. So she's in next.
Awesome.
Darkness trembled in your holy light. Every eye will see Jesus our God, great and mighty to pay.
We are back, and we are here with my lovely wife, Lacey Warren, and she's great, and Lacey, you know everybody in the room, so it's not an uncomfortable situation. Now, we ask this question to all of our guests, but do you listen to the Spoutcast?
Yes, I do.
And are you a fan?
I am a fan.
Good for you.
I'd be really sad if I wasn't.
She's like, oh, yeah, I hate listening to your voice drone on and on and on. You're awful, Christian. But the two girls are great. So that's usually what she tells me on a day-to-day basis. Lacey, I guess these lovely ladies in here would like to know if an embarrassing story. Do you have one?
About Christian, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, it's
a rare time we get to actually like interview the wife.
I'm trying to think of a recent one. Well, we were like just at a winter camp, and like one of Christian's friends told the story when they were like hitting a beehive out of a bush, and Christian peed his pants, and I had like never heard the story. I was laughing so hard.
How like, old were you, Christian?
I was like 18, 19.
Like old. Over a beehive.
It was really freaky, okay? This was like a swarm of bees, and I'm standing over this thing about to spray, you basically spray this powder into a like the hole where the bees come in and out of, and the powder poofs up into almost like almost like shaving cream, but like hard shaving cream. So you spray this in there, and it's kind of this 1, 2, 3 spray kind of thing. And you get in there, and you have your bee suit on, and I get in there. It's like 1, 2, 3, and like on three, I'm like peeing my pants because I'm too nervous. And like I'm like spraying this stuff into the beehive as I'm peeing like all over myself, and I run away, and everyone's like, I'm breathing heavily, and my buddy Tim's like, How'd it go? I'm like, great, awesome. And then like later I like pull him aside and I'm like, dude, I kind of like pee my pants. Like right here in my pants, there's like just water all over the place. So it was,
wasn't actually water. Yeah. It was urine.
It was urine, you know. It was really.
It's not like someone splashed you with a water bottle, Christian.
Look, I was 19. I was young. Anyways, let's get back to the topic on hand. All right, it's not about me, it's about my wife. Lacey, we want our listeners to know maybe a little bit about you. Where'd you come from? Where'd you grow up, kind of thing?
I come from Aptos. It's in Santa Cruz. That's where my family is. I have two older sisters. I love animals.
We both love animals.
Like, big time.
That's great.
What else?
You're in school right now.
I'm in school in the MFCC program studying to be a therapist. I'm going to be doing my practicum next year.
I graduated Sunbird.
Lacey, I heard that you have had no formal voice training.
That's true. For about like almost a year, I would say, was it a year that I was singing in Genesis? My home church in Santa Cruz has like a separate service for college-aged people, young adult, and that was my first experience. That was like, I don't know, maybe it was like 6 months.
We were like on a retreat Okay. And it was like a staff retreat and we were like worshiping on a floor, some guy with a guitar, and Lacey's just belting out her voice. And
I was not belting out.
Oh, come on. All right.
I was just singing next to the guy.
You know, like when you're singing and there's that person that's louder than everyone else.
No, 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 no.
Oh, that's Sarah Wells?
No. Whoa. I did the thumb point. Like, this girl.
That wasn't Lacey, but her voice was, I think, distracting enough to where we all heard it and we're like, you sound really good. I'm telling the truth here.
Okay, and
our worship pastor at the time was like, hey, you sound really good. You should totally sing with me. And that's kind of how the spark of you singing
happened. And so it was just funny looking back because we didn't really practice. I would just go out there and basically sing a song with him. I had no idea what I'm doing. I still don't really know, but I've learned a lot. And then when we...
Sarah said she could give you vocal lessons.
Yeah, I know. I think to myself, I really should do vocal lessons just for that experience because obviously there's always... a lot to grow and but it's so hard with time.
Everyone taking voice lessons if you like want to.
Yeah, I
feel like the voice is equally as much of an instrument, let's say, as the drums or
that is absolutely correct, Christian.
I don't know how I feel about that though.
Really?
Because I don't feel like a musician at all. I'm just up there like standing around, you know, like in a rehearsal awkwardly. I don't know how to read music. I haven't like perfected a craft or anything. I'm more just.
But I mean, because I feel the exact same way because I don't feel super musical, but I like your voice takes practice, it takes training, you know, like in that sense, it's the same as an instrument. But
well,
but
in Lacey's case, it doesn't take training. Like she's just
well,
incredible.
That's true.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I spent,
no, I'm
like,
dead serious. Like for never having.
I had 6 years of voice lessons.
No, but I mean, for never having any training, like your voice is, I mean, just stumble upon that. Like that is like you sing
well,
very well.
I would sing for enjoyment, you know, in the car. Always, I've always loved music, like singing and just how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know what you're saying. And then
do you ever get caught like singing while you're driving, like with the windows down, and then someone looks over you like,
I'm honestly at a point where I don't care. Like I'll continue singing, belting out as I look over and see someone looking at me and just like I've let that go.
Sorry. I actually have a really funny story about that because I was driving singing one time, just singing away like to Broadway or something loud. Yeah. And an old pastor of mine called me and he's like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like at a stoplight. I'm like, yeah, what's going on? He's like, I just drove past you. You were screaming. You looked like you were screaming. And I was
that
like,
must
oh,
have been a,
you got to reach
that
those
must
notes.
Have been a good song.
It was.
It was probably Yeah, probably
but this
yeah,
is coming
by
from a
Usher.
Girl who's listening to show tunes. So she's like literally screaming.
Right.
I really was. But he thought I was in pain. Like he thought I was screaming for my life in this car. And it was really funny.
Well, speaking of worship and songs and show tunes. Sarah.
I could always talk about show tunes.
We want to know about the album, Lacey.
Yeah.
We want to kind of know about the process here. And if people have been listening to the whole episode, they've been hearing the song With Everything, which is the title track. Why'd you guys come up with that as the title for the album? Just because the song was on the album? Or
I'm not exactly sure. We were talking about how we praise God with everything. Mm. And then the album cover is a Gerber daisy, which is actually my favorite flower. And like, there's a nature type of theme with the artwork. And so everything praises God, nature, like everything we do.
My hope is to get like next week, maybe Gordon Howell in here, who kind of basically instrumented the whole thing and did most of the computer stuff along with Dave Johnson, and then get Brian and Stephen Potter in here as well, and Kevin Tinkin, just to kind of have them all talk about their parts.
The Potter band.
Yeah.
The boys.
But as far as recording your vocals and things like that, you came into this studio and...
Yeah, it was really a different experience for me because... as we were just kind of talking about, my only experience with worship is as a communal activity. Everyone takes part in it, and I can hear people singing, worshiping with me. I can see them. The sound goes out into the large room and is mixed with all the bodies. And like if something sounds bad, it'll be rare that I'll actually be aware of it. And, and then in here, in this tiny room, facing the wall for with your headphones
in
on.
In timeout.
I heard every note loud and clear. And so at times I was like, man, this is just sounding awful. And I would tell Gordon, like, what, is it sounding really bad? Because it was such a different experience.
Yeah.
But really good for me.
It's like the spout in our first couple episodes. We listened back and we're like, wow, we sound like really terrible. But we perfected it and Dave helped us with the computer.
I never
like,
thought that.
What?
Just kidding.
Just when you record vocals, it's a different experience. And so even Gordon, I'm sure, took your vocals and then, you know, on the computer program kind of spiced them up a little bit.
Yeah, so thank you, Gordon, for making me sound a lot better than it sounded in ears.
And now, I know this, but I think I don't know if our whole audience out there knows this, but you wrote a song on the album alongside Gordon.
Yeah, it was interesting because I just came in here one day and we were going to record something really fast. I actually wasn't in here that much as far as recording. It was a pretty fast process for me. But he was like, hey, like, listen to this. He like had written a little piece of music or something. I was like, wow, I love it. Like, we should turn it into a song. And it was seriously just a couple hours. I was like thinking, we were thinking together of lyrics and just putting it together. And then we had like the guys come in and we just started like laying down all the parts. And it was just a really fun new thing for me where something organically like unfolds and you're really into it. And then it was my first experience thinking through lyrics and how do you compose a worship song. And
have you guys heard the album, Sarah? Megan?
I have not yet.
It's excellent. Something I love about this album, and The Well puts out great worship albums, and I love this album, one, because my wife's on it, but two, is I feel like there's a good amount of slow songs, and there's a good amount of fast-paced songs. And so this week's episode, we're playing With Everything, which is a faster-paced song, and Oh Hallelujah has a definite fast pace to it, including an intense like intro that's awesome. I love it when you guys play that song live. And I've told you, I love the song With Everything live. I think it's fast pace, and maybe more, I'm just more into that kind of worship, but that's what I like about the album, that there's a good balance between the two. And just so you guys are wondering, and I feel like a lot of people may wonder this, is like, how come there's only 8 songs on the album? Do you want to explain this? Do you want me to explain it a little bit? Or?
Well, just briefly, I mean, we recorded definitely more than 8, and a couple of the ones were definitely up there, my favorites, but we had problems finding like licensing. I don't know how all the details of that by any means, but and another song Gordon and I had written in like a kind of a different chorus, and that was hard to get licensing for. So it was a process for Shannon, I know, but I am happy. And
the 8 songs,
product,
I think, fit together perfectly. It kind of has that, it's like, it's not like all slow and then too fast. It's like fast, slow. Like, it's a good flow of worship. I really, I've listened to it in my car. Love it. I sing out, and then a guy drives by next to me and he calls me. He's like, are you okay? You were screaming.
I was going to say something. Lacey, your voice is like so easy to listen to. Like, because I had it on while I was working, and then it just kind of stayed on for the whole afternoon. And it was like so nice, like just really easy. Like, your voice is very like pleasant.
Thank you.
When you listen to the Spoutcast, you go, Christian's voice is really easy. No.
Well, I can't listen to the Spoutcast while I'm working because listening and laughing and then critiquing myself. So
fair enough. Well, Lacey, we thought it would be appropriate when you came in to talk about our top 3 favorite worship songs. Now, as a fan of the Spout worship through music songs or worship songs, as a fan of the Spoutcast, you kind of know how the top 3 works. We kind of go around here in a circle. But do you guys have your top 3? Megan, Sarah?
We're ready to go.
Megan, are you ready to go?
This was a difficult challenge for me once again.
This is so
I think it was difficult for Lacey as well.
There are so many songs I love.
It's
you know?
Impossible.
But I think that's good. I think it's the top 3.
I happen to have my
and
list.
It's a, in a sense, it's a broader subject. You know what I mean? Right. Where there's more to choose from. And so,
And I think the ones that I chose, like, I mean, just, and you guys probably did the same thing, were ones that that actually affect me in a different way because of like a period of life that they were like prominent in or something, you know?
I totally
so they
agree.
Might not be my absolute favorite worship song, but they mean more to me because of that stage of life.
Totally. So, absolutely.
Right. Well, and some songs I would have chosen 6 months ago, I don't choose now.
Yeah,
I was just...
Absolutely.
I don't know.
So Lacey, we'll start off with your number 3 favorite worship song.
Can I do Tied for Fourth?
Look at this guest
coming here, changing things up.
You do whatever you want, Lacey.
Lacey, you can do whatever you want. Do a tied for fourth. Tied for third
okay,
or tied?
I'll do a fourth place. Runner up.
Okay, runner up.
I like How He Loves.
How He Loves. Fair enough. And now give us your 3. Your number 3.
Number 3, anything by Shane and Shane. But if I had to choose today in this hour, it would be a song called Yearn.
Okay. I want to yearn for you. That one?
Don't,
I butchered it. But
don't do that to it.
All right. That's a song, though, right?
We know who the singer in the family is.
Yeah. All right. Great. Okay. Megan, what would be your top 3? Number 3.
Yeah. Okay. So my third favorite song has to do with a season probably about 4 years ago that just, I just love this song for this reason and this season. That rhymed. Is Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed Be Your Name. I could teach you some hand motions to that song if you want.
Please don't.
All right, fair enough.
Might ruin it.
Sarah, what is your number three favorite worship song?
This has probably been a favorite for most of my life, but Be Thou My Vision.
Oh, excellent.
That would have been a runner-up.
Yeah.
Any hymns.
Fantastic words in that.
That hymn. Song actually would have been on the album, but that was one of the songs that they couldn't get licensing for.
Oh, is it because
I would
so
love
ancient?
To hear you sing that song.
Gordon still has it.
Yeah,
we changed
I could
a lot, though.
Send it over to you a little bit. But
great.
It's
made
not,
it fast.
Let's all sing it together. Ready? One, two.
All right.
No. Remember, I can't hear anything, so I have no idea at this point.
So my number three is, I'm going to get maybe a little bit of flack for this, but I came to Christ listening to this song after a sermon was given at a Camp Hammer. We talked about it before, but sermon was given, kind of the guy gave the basically gospel message, talked about Christ on the cross, and then they sang the song, The Nails in Your Hand.
Oh,
and it's kind of corny. It's from a long time ago, but every time I hear that song, I'm just reminded of that day when I came to know Christ. Love it. Always special place in my heart. I make fun of it a little bit now, but I love it. Absolutely. So Lacey, you're number two.
Beautiful by Carrie Job.
I love that.
So good.
Awesome. Megan.
Lacey and Sarah having a lot of moments.
Yeah,
right
little more, just one guy really here. This is great. So.
No, I mean, I'm a girl too, yeah. And they're having moments.
Carrie Job, just like,
I know.
So wonderful.
So great.
Okay. Okay.
Go for it, Megan.
My
number
two is Be Thou My Vision. So.
Man, keep it.
You know that?
Wow, out of a large pool of worship songs, you guys pick the same one.
And I would maybe tie that one with Come Thou Fount. But
I thought of that one too.
But I you know, those hymns just like do it for me, you know?
Excellent.
Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it.
Ugh,
prone to leave the Lord I love.
Wander. Mm. Yes.
Should I finish the rest
of that? No, I just thought that line.
I feel like, we're in a moment now where we're going to start closing our hot eyes and
silence.
Weeping or something.
All right. Everyone's hands are raised
swaying
right now.
Swaying back and
forth. Sarah, you're number two.
I bet you didn't think these were all going to be like such emotional answers with this top
not.
Three.
We're women.
Right. My number two is In Christ Alone.
Ooh, that's a very powerful song.
I'm liking all these hymns.
Yeah, first time I heard that song was at a conference. This will be quick, and they incorporated the lights in this worship set, and so they talked when Christ talks about Christ, you know, being victorious on the hill or whatever. I can't remember the words. Anyways, they made the lights all shoot up, so it was super bright all of a sudden because that's when Christ raised, and it was so powerful.
A sensory experience.
That's cool.
Yeah, it really was. Very sensory. So anyways, it was
awesome,
very exciting.
Man. My number two is, this is a hymn, but this song has actually been perfected over the years. Different worship artists have kind of toyed around with it a little bit, but I'll always be a fan of the song Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And we've featured this artist on the Spoutcast before, but his name's Aaron Gillespie, and he's in a band called The Almost, and he wrote a version of the song called Amazing Because It Is, and it's essentially Amazing Grace with his own flair on it. I love Chris Tomlin's My Chains Are Gone kind of Amazing Grace. I don't know why.
And Grace Like Rain.
Grace
That's
Like
a
Rain.
Great song.
I think Barstow. No, who's that by?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That
Barstow
guy. Barstow guy. What's his name?
Fresno and Barstow. Meet us there. All right. So anyways, Warren Barstow.
Yes, that's him.
All right. Anyways, I love any rendition of that song. Love Amazing Grace and all the renditions that come from it. So Lacey, on to your number one.
Well, I was thinking How Great Thou Art.
Okay.
But this is just a hard process for me.
You don't seem very secure in that answer.
I don't really have a number one because next week it'll probably be something different. But
How
hymns
great
definitely
great.
Are my favorite. Just for how they outline our theology, and they are timeless and ageless, so I'll go with that.
Fair enough. Megan, your number one.
My number one, I feel like God has used this throughout probably the last 12 months, just in random times, to remind me of that he's very, even intentional and detailed in using worship songs like directly for certain people during, I'll go to a service and I'll think, like, I know that God chose that song for me to hear that night, you know? And this song just tends to be one that I hear that just does that for me. And it's How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part in that song that says, you know, my voice calls out, you know, among the scoffers. I hear my voice among the scoffers. And I just, every single time I hear it, I just like, oh my goodness, like I'm like, it's me.
Yeah.
I'm there.
That's so rad.
So yeah, it's just a cool, it's a cool experience for me. That's
love how worship songs just, you could, you know, it's a song you could hear 100 times and music just does that to you and you just have that feeling and it's just breaks you down a little bit. And it's so good to hear sometimes your favorite song. You're like, oh, this is so refreshing. All right. Your number one, Sarah.
My number one, we don't actually sing it at the well. But
we don't sing the nails in your hands at the well.
You're right, right. This one, it's called, it's not super popular, but it's called The Power of the Cross. And great, awesome.
We sung it at my church growing up.
I love that song. There's a verse and it says, now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as his mate. Quakes as his maker bows his head, curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life, finished the victory cry. And when we're singing it, like I'm on my eyes, like well up with tears, just like his death, just even the earth responds, like the earth quakes, the light, like everything goes dark. The curtain is torn from top to bottom. It just is so powerful. So that's why I love, love, love that song.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. My number one is a song that we've been featuring on this week's episode, and it's also on the album. But the song With Everything, it just, for some reason, I can be sitting in my chair at the well praying, and then that song comes up, and I stand up and immediately have to worship. I love that song. It just causes a reaction in me. I don't know really why, but even when I found out that Lacey was or I think you guys weren't even planning on recording that song, and I said, you have to do that song.
I
love that song. And I think Gordon and you played that song one Sunday, and I was just kind of sitting there praying quietly. I think that's what I do during worship oftentimes. And that song came on, I was like, this is an incredible song. And I've just been listening to it more and more and just have fallen more and more in love with it. I love that it's on the album. That's why I chose it for this week's episode, but also to promote the album. But absolutely love it. So that was, I feel like that was a good top three for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, excellent top three.
I want to know what other people's are too. So.
Yeah, and so if you want to email us in your top three, email them at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. You can also text or call 559-321-7768, or if you want to remember it as 321-SPOUT. But yeah.
Spow. Or put it on Facebook.
And all of these things, Twitter it, whatever it may be, we just want to know your
top three.
And we will enter you into a raffle where you can win, actually, a With Everything worship CD. So what we want to do is have you guys, for the next 4 weeks, we're not going to do an every 2 weeks raffle. We'll do an every week's raffle where we will give away a Well Worship album With Everything featuring Lacey Warren. And we'll give that away for the next 4 weeks. Fair enough. Because that's the only amount of CDs that Shannon and Karen will give me. So we'll do that for the next 4 weeks.
Perfect.
And Lacey, is there anything else you'd like to say about the album or just go buy it or...
Yeah, I mean, our team is excited. It's been a process for us, and we are thankful to have the opportunity to, I mean, put some worship out there for the congregation and have it be a shared thing.
What's cool is that I believe this is correct, unless you've told me otherwise, but you guys are actually going to be leading worship at the well for the next month, pretty much.
Pretty much for the month of May, we'll be hitting up the different campuses at least once. So that's really exciting because we're usually on for North 5 and 7.
Right.
So if you attend those services, you'll know us and our faces and our style.
Right.
But other services, like we've never been to Clovis.
Clovis.
I've been at Fig by my, like, alone joining Nate over there, but it's going to be, I'm really excited to
last thing I just want to say is if you want to buy the album, because we haven't really talked about that, you can go to thewellcommunity.org and there's a link for the album on there, and you'll see a button on there, and you can click it, buy the album, it's $10, and it's great.
All the proceeds go to the well.
It's great.
We search it on iTunes, can we
can't
find it there?
Can't find it on
iTunes. We should put it on iTunes.
It's a complicated process to put it on iTunes, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, buy the album, wellcommunity.org. Find the With Everything logo on there. Buy it. Thanks for being here, Lacey.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate
this
it.
This is fun.
Yeah, up next, we'll read some emails and do some announcements and talk about some different thank yous and stuff. We'll be right back.
We will shout for your praise. With everything, we will shout for your glory. With everything, we will shout for
We are back, and we are going to do some emails. And at the end of our email segment here, we're going to pick out of a hat, out of my new hat that I got from the movie Fast Five. And it says Fast Five on it. I'm pretty proud of my hat. But we're going to read some of these emails, and then we'll pick out of the hat who wins the $10 gift card. Mm-hmm. And then for the next 4 weeks after this, we'll give away the album.
Awesome.
Cool? So I have an email, first of all. This is from – actually, why don't you – actually, I kind of already read Brandon Saubert's little thing about telling us about the number, the spout number. So you read his email that he sent in about his top three.
Yeah, he actually has two sets of top threes. One is sports that he likes to watch, and then one that sports he likes to do. So we'll do fair both. His number three sport that he likes to watch is water polo. And then comes Fresno State football, not football. Has to be Fresno State. And then his number one thing he likes to watch is motorcycle racing, not dirt bikes. Huh.
There interesting. You go. I think that's sometimes fun to watch on TV. Yeah. All right. Now, what are his favorite sports to play?
His number three is Ultimate Frisbee. Number two, cycling. And number one, dodgeball in true well fashion.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that wrote the blog about the dodgeball.
That's right.
Absolutely,
it's true.
Absolutely. So, Megan, you've got some top threes over there?
I do. This one's from Jeremiah. And he says, oh, man, best idea ever.
Can I just say one quick thing?
Yeah.
Jeremiah did an email in last week, 2 weeks ago. So I made him feel really bad about it. And then he's like, I'm really sorry, dude. And then I felt bad about making fun of him on the spout for not emailing in. So he actually texted us in this week. So go for it. What did he say?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He texted us.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't email in.
It's all right. It's all the same. Fans. It's all the same.
Okay. Oh, man, best idea ever. Smiley face. Top three sports. Number three, track and field, specifically high jump. Number
he did two, that in college.
Baseball to play. And number one, college football, I'm assuming to watch.
To watch. Jeremiah and I
he likes to jump on random college teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremiah and I went to a Bulldog game together, and it was a ton of fun. We loved it.
That's fun.
So, yeah.
Little known fact about high jump, my dad was a high jump coach all throughout high school.
Jeremiah and your dad should meet up, because Jeremiah did high jump.
And here's something even weirder. You guys know Mad Chad from League of Extraordinary Dancers? You probably don't, but he's a famous dancer. He was one of my dad's high jumpers. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Really Sarah, random. You have one more email, I believe.
I do.
Yes?
You want me to read this one?
I do want you to read that one on the air.
This is from
and I want to clarify something afterwards.
Great. Okay. This is from our friend Andrew File, and he says, the subject line is pity. And this is the content of the email. This is a pity email, since you don't get enough of them. Love you guys. Faithful listener. When am I coming on the show? You can actually have a guest that listens. Andrew File.
Hey, Andrew. We don't need your pity emails. We don't need your pity junk on the show.
And as a matter of fact, we're defanning you on Facebook.
No, I don't think he's actually been a fan.
Oh, Andrew, you're not a fan?
Andrew.
But I will say this, Andrew. We don't need your emails. We got plenty of them. We've got this new phone number now. All I want to say is that we've got lots of people to listen to this show, okay? And we don't need your pity emails, okay?
But thanks for loving us.
But yeah, hey, thanks, dude, for the email.
And thanks for being faithful.
Yeah, thanks for being faithful. Andrew is a very faithful. And a lot of the things that happen in this show is because Andrew tells us, hey, you should totally do that on the show or whatever.
Yeah, he gives really good feedback.
May or may not have been one of my biggest advocates to be put on here.
He was an advocate, absolutely.
Yeah, he came talk to me. He went to talk to Christian.
He talked to you?
Yeah, he did.
I didn't know that.
Uh-oh, I feel like we're going to have
a
weird argument right now.
No.
Mom and dad just heard some bad news.
All right.
All right. Well, we are going to take my Fast Five hat here.
No, wait. I have another text message to read.
I almost forgot.
Yeah.
It's so long that I almost forgot.
And here's what's funny is that, like, it's once again from Wes.
Wes,
like,
you really have this guy.
I think Christian's, like, trying to get you to meet Wes via, like...
Wes is engaged getting married, so...
Yeah. Oh, bummer.
Yeah. Well, right. Sorry. Thanks for making that weird. I just always get to announce Wes's
I just feel like it's been this ongoing joke that you read these crazy long emails or texts from Wes, so...
Yeah, congratulations on your engagement.
Yes, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
What does Wes say?
Oh, Wes says, hockey.
And this is the shortened version.
Oh, is this it?
No, it's not a shortened version at all.
No, really. He just, like, doesn't have anything else to say.
Nothing else to say.
No. Hockey, cycling, and ultimate frisbee.
I feel like the cycling and ultimate frisbee came up a lot, so there you go. Hockey was a new one.
Ultimate frisbee, I guess, is a pretty fun thing to do.
Fun sport. All right, you guys, let's reach into this hat. Who wants to pick the name? Should I pick it?
I think Sarah should pick it.
All right,
it.
Sarah, you pick the name.
Thanks, Meg.
Here we go. First, before you say it, you have to go Vin Diesel rules, and then you pick.
Why do I have to say that?
Well, because Fast Five hat.
I don't understand what Fast Five is.
All right, just
okay.
Just
okay. Vin Diesel rules.
Not.
Who's the name?
Jesse Wilson.
Jesse Wilson. She sent us in an email last week. She's a faithful listener.
Used to be a guest.
She did used to be a guest. So we will send her
a. She was a guest.
She was a guest.
She used to be a guest.
I don't know how to speak to English.
I'm just kidding. We will send you a gift card for $10 to iTunes. And so thanks for emailing us in. Now remember, once again, email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com for the next 4 weeks. We will mail you. Actually, Shannon, who's kind of the worship admin, will mail you the CD.
Or we can just like give it to the iHub and you can come pick it up at the iHub.
Yeah, but I like the it comes to your door. Or, you know, either or.
What if it gets broken in the mail?
If it gets broken in the mail, how about this? Lacey will personally sign all four of these CDs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be worth
it. I like that.
How do I get myself a copy of this with a signed
you gotta email
Lacey
in.
Signature?
You got to email in.
Yeah, but
don't
not
title
really
your email
right?
Pity, okay?
Yeah, I won't.
Hey, couple quick announcements that Megan's going to read about some things going on at the Well. Go for it, Megan.
Each Well campus will hold its annual baptism service celebrating changed lives on Sunday, June 5th.
Absolutely. You should be there.
Yes. The regularly scheduled Wednesday, June 1st and Sunday, June 5th services will be canceled. And each individual campus sort of has their own time and place and event.
Of baptism.
For their baptism.
Which I
so
think
make
is
sure
great.
You check in at their iHubs and figure out where that's going to be.
On the
absolutely.
Website.
On the website. So visit wellcommunity.org and there's a little banner on there that just says, "Would you like, I'm interested in being baptized or whatever." Mm-hmm. And so click that and it has all the same details that Megan just read. Also, speaking of Jesse Wilson, she came in here a couple weeks ago, talked about eating meat, supporting missions.
Tri-Tip Fundraiser.
Once again, Tri-Tip Fundraiser. Click that banner on the website as well, www.wellcommunity.org. And the last thing, which we've mentioned before, is pick up the worship CD. If you liked the song that you heard today or you listen to in the next 3 weeks, we're going to be playing different songs of the Well Worship. Mm-hmm. And so if you like the music, check it out. Buy the album. You can buy it either at the, what's it called, iHub, and they'll be on sale next week. And then you can also buy them through the website at wellcommunity.org. What just happened to me? Anyways,
something possessed over you for a
I
moment.
I know. That was a little crazy. And the last thing I want to say is just a couple quick thank yous. I always forget the thank yous at the end, but I'm remembering this time. Want to thank my main man, Dave Johnson, over there in the other room, for helping us out just with recording this, making it sound better. Also want to thank Karen Price, who is the one that lets us do this every week.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen. And
thank you,
thank you, Worship Department, for giving us 4 CDs to give away the next
thank
couple
you.
Weeks. And the last thank you is I want to thank Janie Richmond, okay? Here's why I want to thank Janie Richmond, because my wife knows this about me, but I am horrible with grammar, like awful with grammar. I used to have a blog, cornyreviews.blogspot.com. Huh. I don't really do it anymore, but still up. But just look at the grammar on there and you'll go, how did this guy ever pass first grade? And so if you go to the website, there's the thing on the website, which basically like, hey,
the blurb
about the Spoutcast where we, you know, post links to different things on there. And she edits my bad grammar. And so every week it's like, she takes the red pen to all the bad grammar. And she does great at it. So thank you, Janie, for making me look good.
Thanks, Janie. You're the best.
Last little thing. I want to read a quick email that we got. We're going to try this out.
Okay.
We'll end it here, okay? But I got an email from Brandon Saubert. He sent a lot of emails in this week.
Thanks,
but
he
titled this email Ending Tagline because he thinks that we should end our spout like this. Because we, you know, we start our spout with the, you know, welcome to the spout where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. And this is how we would end. How do you guys feel about that? I'll read
it. We haven't heard it yet.
Okay,
so
I'll read it. Okay. Now give your feedback here.
I don't know how I feel yet. You got to read it.
Here we go. All it is, very simple. Thanks for listening to the spout. We're out. No? Yeah? Hey?
I thought we were trying to tie together, you know, the drink on up.
But that's the beginning. Dave gave us the thumbs up, though. Dave likes it. It's simple.
But what about drink on up?
But you see, now listen.
Oh, he giving now, a thumbs down.
I'm in defense of Brandon here. Brandon's a listener, and we did ask for listeners to email in, and he's the only one. And so I feel like we should give him the honor of at least ending
well, no, I think totally. I think it's great. End it differently every week as long as someone writes in and tells us what to say.
Good idea, Max.
I like that as well. Yeah. So how about we end?
I don't think that we should let Dave dictate what's on our podcast.
Yeah, Dave.
He's come saying, on. What?
Just kind of thumbs come up, on. Thumbs down.
After we just thanked Dave for doing all this stuff, it's like,
well,
Dave,
boo.
I didn't
thank him. You thanked him.
All right. Wow.
Oh, I'm kidding. Thank you, Dave.
Anyways.
he just gave you a thumbs down.
Uh-oh.
Thanks for listening to the spout.
He just muted you.
Excuse me. I'm trying to end here.
Sorry.
We love you.
Thanks for listening to the spout. We're out. It was good.
Bye.
Bye.